It is in the context of the life of Elijah, and we'll put the pieces together probably over the next couple of weeks. But 1 Kings chapter 21, and we're going to read from the verse number 1. Just four verses this morning, but we'll be turning to some other scriptures. And so keep your Bibles open, and you'll be working through them this morning. 1 Kings chapter 21, and beginning to read at verse number 1. And it came to pass, after these things, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for the garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Ending at verse number 4, and we do trust the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant and inspired word to our hearts. One of the things that the news has been carrying at the early part of January especially was the sales figures leading up to Christmas. And of course, the what shops sell coming up to Christmas is very important to them. For many of them, they really make much of their money in that month of December. Some of you remember growing up in our province, and hopefully we don't get back to it, but it's not looking good at the moment. You remember some of the political slogans that we used to have, like Ulster's not for sale. And I was just thinking about that, not so much Ulster's not for sale, but things that are not for sale, as I thought about these first four verses this morning. I know I'm going off on a tangent this morning. Sometimes that's just how the Lord will lead, and I trust you'll bear with me this morning. This story is about a man called Naboth. And Naboth has a vineyard, and King Ahab really wants this vineyard, but Naboth says to the king, it's not for sale. I'm not going to sell it. Look again at verses 1 and 2 of our reading this morning. It came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. This was right beside his house, and the king really wanted to have this vineyard. Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near unto my house, and I will give it thee a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And so Ahab doesn't want to take it for nothing. He says, Look, I want this vineyard. I'm happy to give you a far better vineyard somewhere else. Or if you don't want a better vineyard, I'm going to give you some money for it. And no doubt the king would have paid a good price. I would say if Naboth had have gone to his financial advisor, if he had have gone to his accountant, the accountant probably would have said, take the arm off him. Take the arm off him. He's offering you plenty of money. He's offering you a good deal. And not only that, well, Jezebel's his wife. And you don't want to get on the wrong side of Jezebel. You could well have the ear of the king by selling this vineyard. But we know in verses 3 and 4 he says no to the king. Look how Ahab responds in verse number 4. Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And really, look what he does. He laid him down upon his bed, turned away his face, and would eat no bread. Let me put it in plain Ulster language. He huffed. He huffed. Have you ever huffed when you didn't get your way? I remember as a child, I really wanted a chopper bike. And I don't know why I wanted a chopper bike. You couldn't ride them. But anyway, I wanted a chopper bike, and I huffed for weeks and weeks and weeks until I got a chopper bike. And sadly, my mother gave in. And sometimes we huff and we puff until we get our own way. And it only reveals our immaturity. Here's the king, and he's huffing because he couldn't get this vineyard. Notice what Naboth said. He wasn't just being awkward here. Naboth said to Ahab in verse 3, The Lord forbid it. God forbid it. There was a biblical reason why he wouldn't sell the vineyard. Over in Numbers 36, verse 7, so shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. You see, Naboth looked at this tempting offer, and he looked at the word of God. And whilst it was tempting, and while there was much to be said about it, and he could get favour with Jezebel, favour with the king, he could have had money, he could have had, I would say, any vineyard that he really wanted, but he looked into the word of God, and he said, it's not for sale. It's not for sale. And that got me thinking as I sat in the study. Things that people sold very cheaply, and things that people wouldn't sell. I think we could say of Naboth that he wouldn't sell his inheritance because of this book, because of the Bible. Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And as a church this morning, we want to say that we're not going to sell the truth. We're not interested in selling for popularity or for because of good PR. Because it's politically correct, we're not interested in selling out the Word of God. When you come to the book of Revelation, the first three chapters deal with seven churches, particularly chapter 2 and chapter 3. These seven churches, many people see in them a pattern of church history. It starts off with the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus left its first love. And you see, the church was on fire for the Lord, generally speaking, in the first century. But that fire cooled down towards the end of the first century. And really, they had left their first love. And you can trace all the churches and you can see different historical periods. And when you come to the last church, it's the church of Laodicea. And the Lord describes it as lukewarm. He says, in fact, it makes me sick. I would have to say, generally speaking, when the Lord looks at Christendom today and use that word very generally and very widely, I would say it makes the Lord sick. When he sees how many churches have sold out and sold out the Word of God. One of the churches that he wrote to was a church called Sardis. Sometimes it's called the Church of the Reformation. It marks that Reformation period in church history. Revelation 3 verse 1, and the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things said he that has seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Couldn't that be said of many Protestant churches? You've got a name, you're alive, but you're dead. Spiritually, they're dead. And this is what the Lord says to them. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Don't sell your inheritance. The things that are ready to die. Hold on to it. Hold on to the word of God and don't sell out your inheritance this morning. There are things that are not for sale this morning. The absolute authority of the word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I believe the canon of Scripture is complete. I believe we have God's Word and we have the complete Word of God. I'm not looking for extra biblical revelation. And I'm not willing to sell the absolute authority of the Word of God. I'm not willing to sell this morning the sufficiency of the death of Christ on the cross. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Never to be repeated. Never needs repeating. Not interested in minimizing the cross. Not interested in making it sentimental. Not interested in adding something to it or taking something for it. These are things that are not for sale. The glorious gospel of Christ, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not for sale this morning. The gospel that is not by works, it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Not interested in selling out. Remember the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, the pressure was on them to sell out. Do you remember they were threatened, they were going to be thrown into the fiery furnace? Well, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't budge, they wouldn't bend, and actually they wouldn't even burn either, because God was with them. And they said, not for sale. And so when we think of Naboth this morning, he comes to the Bible and he says, it's not for sale. I hope that's your attitude this morning. Then I want to take it a little bit further this morning, and I want to talk about our body. Come over to Genesis chapter 25. I'm making the application this morning. I'm not usually I preach the guests. Normally I stick with the passage, but forgive me. I was thinking of things that are not for sale or things that were sold cheaply. When we come to Genesis chapter 25, we read about two brothers, one called Esau and the other called Jacob. Genesis 25, verse 27. And it says of the two boys, Genesis 25, 27, and the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. Just think about Esau. He was a cunning hunter. He's a man of the field. He loved the great outdoors, verse 28. And Isaac loved Esau. This is their father. Because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now that should never happen in a home. But just I'm thinking about Esau and how Isaac loved Esau. Why? Because he satisfied his flesh. Sometimes we can talk about our children because they satisfy our flesh. We can talk about their great achievements. We can talk about where they are academically. We can talk about where they are in the workplace. And we can set them up and we're proud of them. And there's nothing wrong being proud of your children and appreciating what they're doing. And Isaac was so in love with Esau because he satisfied the flesh. But let me say, it's more important where they are spiritually. John says in 3 John 1 verse 4, I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in truth. Great to have an education. Great to have a good job. These are wonderful things. But where are they with the Lord? That's a much more important thing. And yes, parents, it's good to get the children to do the homework. It's good to steer them academically. These things are all good and proper. Whether it's academic or whether it's vocational, it makes no difference. But what about their spiritual well-being this morning? Isaac loved Esau because he satisfied the flesh. Look at verse 29 in Genesis 25. Jacob sowed pottage and Esau came from the field and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. He comes in from the field, he's hungry. He needs something. His flesh is crying out for something. Look at verse 31. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? Here's Esau and he's ready to sell something. Remember what Naboth said, not for sale. Here's Esau and he's about to sell his birthright. And there are many things contained in the birthright. The most important thing was the spiritual blessing. Christ was going to come through that line. It was his attachment to Christ, if I can put it simply this morning. It was his spiritual well-being, if I can put it like that this morning. And for a moment's satisfaction of the flesh, Esau sells his birthright. Now, young people this morning, there are certain desires that arise within us that are not sinful. But it can't be sinful in how they're satisfied. And when it comes to your body this morning, don't sell it this morning. Don't sell it for a moment's satisfaction. Don't sell your spiritual birthright. Don't sell that which is important. Whether it's of a sexual nature, whether it's alcoholic, tobacco, whatever it happens to be. The devil can dangle all these sort of things in front of us and we think, we know that we shouldn't do it. We know we belong to the Lord. We know we're supposed to be different. But for a moment's satisfaction of the flesh, we're willing to sell our spiritual inheritance and dishonor the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, it's not just young people. But I would say to our young people this morning, say, not for sale. I'm not for sale. I'm sticking to the principles of this book. I know that sexual relationships outside of marriage is sin. I'm going with the book. And say, no, it's not for sale. I know that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to put something into this body that dishonors the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm saying no. It's not easy to say no. It's not easy to take your stand and say not for sale. See where I'm coming from this morning? Naboth looked into this book and he said, it's not for sale. Esau looked at his body and the flesh was crying out for something and he just sold it for a mess of pottage. Say not for sale. Even if it ends the relationship, you say no. Because you're better to honor Lord. Even if it means the friends won't want you in their company, you leave the cigarettes to them, you leave the alcohol to them, you leave the nightclubs to them, you say no. I'm not for sale. I've got spiritual principles. I'm better than that. And I'm saying no. See where I'm coming from this morning? Let me take you to another character this morning. We've looked at Naboth, we've looked at Esau. Let's look at Gehazi for a moment. Come to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. Gehazi is a wonderful character. He was Elisha's servant, and what an opportunity he had. Come to 2 Kings chapter 5. This is the story of Naaman. I'm not going to go into all the details. You know about Naaman and how he was told to bathe in the River Jordan and the leprosy left and he was wonderfully and miraculously cured. And it's a picture of salvation. Look at 2 Kings 5 verse 5. And Naaman has gone to the king of Syria. And the king of Syria said, go to and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and look what he takes with him. And he took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Gehazi, when Naaman arrives, he couldn't believe what he sees. All this riches, all the treasures and all the clothes and the silver and the gold. And boy, he couldn't take his eyes off it. And it was working in his heart. I wonder, have you looked at what someone else has and you desire to have it? Have you looked at their car? Have you looked at their job? Have you looked at their clothes? Have you looked at things that they have and you would love more glory, more gold, more glamour? You've looked at the position they hold. And you would love to have it. What is covetousness? It's an excessive desire for something you do not have. Or it's an envious desire for something that someone else has. It means to desire excessively. We call it need, but it's greed. It means to desire illegitimately. We want it no matter the cost, no matter who it hurts, and no matter how we get it. We want it exploitingly. We take advantage of someone else, or we're prepared to. We want it exclusively. It's for self-centered motives. And I believe Gehazi was falling into this trap. Look at verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there's no God in all the earth. This is Naaman speaking, and he's come to Elisha, but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing. And he says, I want to give you something. I've been cleansed of my leprosy. I've been set free. He realizes that God is the true God. And Naaman feels in his heart, I need to pay something for this. Remember, this is a picture of the gospel. And I don't know whether Elisha knew that or not, but Elisha's a man inspired by the Spirit of God. And Elisha wouldn't take a thing. It would have tempted the gospel. If you can pay anything for the gospel, you ruin grace. It doesn't become grace, it becomes a wage. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Look at verse 16. He said, that's Elisha, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And they urged him to take it, but he refused. Again, he's protecting the type of the gospel here. Now, go down to verse number 20. But Gehazi, there's always a but, isn't there? But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he hath brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him, and I will take somewhat of him. What a privileged position Gehazi was in. He was a servant of a man of God. Maybe he was going to follow in Elisha's footsteps. Remember, there was Elijah we looked at a few weeks ago. He passes the mantle on to Elisha. Maybe Elisha had Gehazi in his sight. I'm going to pass the mantle on to Gehazi. And here Gehazi's been tested. And he sees the raiment, he sees the gold, he sees the silver. And now what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Is he going to say no, like the way Elisha had said no? Well, verse number 20 tells us that I will run after him and take somewhat of him, somewhat of him. Notice he uses the same language that Elisha uses as the Lord liveth. He maybe had a spiritual reason for it. But you see him running after the gold, running after the silver, running after the raiment. What are you running after this morning? So much energy to put into so many things, but so little left for Jesus. So little time for Jesus. So little that we can give him, we have nothing left. Here's Gehazi, and he's running after the riches, he's running after the belongings. Verse 21, 2 Kings 5. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he laid it down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? Verse 23. And Naaman said, be content and take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver and 2 bags and 2 changes of raiment and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare him before him. And I'm trying to cut the story down this morning. You know what happened? He takes this indeed. Naaman goes a step further. He sends 2 servants with him, and he travels back and carries the raiment and carries all the possessions that he had given to Gehazi. And Gehazi, of course, had stolen this. He told a parcel of lies in verse 22 to Naaman in order to get this clothes. Now, look at verse 24. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand. That's the servants, the help that Naaman had sent with him, and bestowed them in his house, and let these men go, and they departed. He takes the goods and he hides them in his house. Why did he hide them? He was afraid of being caught. See, when you're afraid of something like that, you have no peace. And Gehazi's been robbed of peace now, because he knows something's not right. Verse 25, he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. He boldly tells lies. And he said unto him, verse 26, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? You know, he's exposed here for what he is. And you could preach a message in this. I don't want to take too much time. Is it a time to receive money? He was into cash. Is it a time to receive garments? He was all into clothes. And olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen, he was into commerce. And men servants and maid servants, he wanted to be in control. He wanted a position. And Gehazi sells out for belongings. Let me ask you this morning, because look what it says in verse 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. This not only affected Gehazi, but affected his family. Let me tell you this, Mum and Dad. If you're running after riches and running after this and running after that, what do your children think of your Saviour? How important is the Saviour to you? And Gehazi's family would be affected, because Gehazi sold out for possessions, for belongings. Is your life so wrapped up in things, you have no time for Jesus Christ this morning? Or are you saying, I'm not for sale? I'm not for sale. I'm going to go all out for Jesus. I'm going to put, as Enoch said to the boys and girls this morning, I'm going to put Christ first. Naboth said, the Bible's not for sale. Esau sold his body. Here's Gehazi. He sold out for belongings. What about Joseph's brethren? We haven't time to turn to it this morning. You'll remember Joseph. Remember their contemplation. They hated him. They hated him yet the more when they saw the coat of many colors. And this hatred led to them doing something about it. They talked among themselves. And soon it affected their conduct. And when they had Joseph in the right place, they threw him in the pit and they sold him to the Midianites. And they sold their brother. Have you ever sold a brother or sister in the Lord? You see, when the gossip starts, and you're just too quick to sell them out, you're too quick to say something defamatory about them. You see, love covers a multitude of sins. And if you really love that brother and love that sister, you'll not be the one that's spreading it, because you're not going to sell your brother. You're not going to sell your sister. You're better than that. And you're like Naboth, you said, not for sale. That's my brother in the Lord. That's my sister in the Lord. And I'm not going to sell them out. Naboth said, not for sale when it come to this book. Esau sold out when it come to his body. Gehazi sold out when it come to belongings. Joseph's brethren sold out when it come to their brother. What about Judas Iscariot? He made the worst bargain of all. In Matthew 26, verse 15, and the Pharisees and all said unto him, what will ye, or he said to them, what will ye give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And here's Judas Iscariot, and there's 30 pieces of silver. And he knew all about Jesus Christ. He knew all the sermons that Christ had preached. He watched all the miracles. He understood what Christ was all about. And here's the decision he had to make. His soul was the most precious thing that Judas had. And was he going to sell his soul for 30 pieces of silver? And you know what happened, don't you? He sold the Lord for the price of a dead slave. If you owned a slave and the slave was killed in an accident, or a neighbor had killed the slave, the compensation agreed was 30 pieces of silver. Christ was sold for the price of a dead slave. Judas didn't think much of him, did he? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know, even if Judas had got 1,000 pieces of silver, what an awful deal it was. What a terrible bargain it was. And Judas sold his soul. Read over in Acts 1 that he went to his own place. Judas died and went to hell. And let me say, he's still in a lost eternity this morning. I don't know where the 30 pieces of silver are now, but his soul is continually being tormented in hell. If you're in this meeting this morning and you're not saved, what price have you put on your soul? Jesus said, I have shed my precious blood that I might redeem your soul this morning. And the devil is offering you this morning some measly 30 pieces of silver. And your soul will be damned in hell for all eternity. Will you say to the devil this morning, not for sale. I'm going to be sold out for Jesus. Will you take Christ this morning? It may not be for silver, it may not be for gold, but still by tens of thousands is this precious Savior sold. Sold for a godless friendship, sold for a selfish aim, sold for a fleeting trifle, sold for an empty name. Sold in the mart of science, sold in the seat of power. Sold at the shrine of fortune, sold in pleasure's bar. Sold where the awful bargain none but God's eye can see. Ponder my soul the question, so shall he be sold by thee. The Lord Jesus said of Judas Iscariot, good word for that man
if he'd never been born.
I've often said it from this pulpit. Non-existence is to be preferred to an eternity in hell. Not for sale. Not for sale because of this book this morning. Or you've been tempted this morning. Or you're in a dilemma this morning. You're wondering what you're going to do. Don't sell out the book this morning. Or you're in a situation when it comes to your body. And you feel the pressure. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going along. And you can feel the pressure. And the Lord just wants to speak to you this morning and say, not for sale. Not for sale. Are you eyeing up the world's goods this morning? Are you taking your eye of the Savior this morning and the lure of possessions, the lure of materialism, it's gripping your heart this morning? Are you going to say not for sale this morning? Have you been listening to gossip? Has someone shared something with you privately? Intimately. And you're tempted to sell them out. Will you say not for sale this morning? That's my brother. That's my sister in the Lord. If you're not saved this morning, the devil's got something for you this morning. Something to hold you with this morning. Will you say to him this morning, I'm not for sale. I'm going to take Jesus. I'm going to take him as my Savior. And I'm going to do it now. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Lord, we just thank you for Naboth this morning. Thank you for a man in spite of what it could cost him. Indeed, Lord, in spite of what it will cost him eventually, and we'll see next week, said no. And Lord, maybe someone here this morning, Lord, you know our hearts. And Lord, you're looking at us to say no. Not for sale. Lord, would you give us the courage? Would you give us the grace? Lord, will you give us the help to do nothing that'll dishonor our lovely Savior's name? And Lord, if there's any here this morning and they're out of Christ, God forbid that someone here would sell their soul for a lousy 30 pieces of silver. Lord, speak into hearts. Save precious souls. For it's in and through our Savior's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing in closing for this.